All opinions expressed in this podcast are solely our own, so please take everything with a grain of salt. After all, the podcast is called The Medical Idiots for a reason.
This week on The Medical Idiots Podcast.
Travel back in time, and I saw my younger self at the age of around 13, 14, 15. I would beat the living...
Welcome to a new episode of the Medical Idiots Podcast. Even though it's been a little bit delayed, we're back.
And we had some logistical issues.
A couple of logistical issues, but we're back and better than ever.
What I'm going to say here is we need a soundboard.
Yeah. You think we need a soundboard?
We need a soundboard. We need better mics. We need like a thing where the mics.
We need
money. That's what we need.
I need to be able to press a button and an audience just claps.
No, we don't need that. We need like cool sounds too.
We also need a professional setup.
So there will be a PayPal link in the.
Money, we like it. Now, all right. Before we start, if you have any topics you would like us to discuss, you can send us an email or send us a message on Instagram at The Medical Idiots. Send us an email at The Medical Emails Idiots at The Medical Email. The Medical Idiots at gmail.com. And of course, link tree, we have a suggestion link. So feel free to use that. But what incredible topic are we talking about today? What have we talked about before? Changes in our lives. Changes in uni. But we've been so focused on this new change around us. How has it changed us? So, in this episode, we want to focus on personal growth and how we have changed growing up.
I'm telling you, if we had a camera right here...
I just wanted a bit in my mouth.
Really? If we had a camera right here, people would see this man's vigor. Yeah?
Yeah, Timon speaks with his whole
He's
body.
He's speaking with chest right now.
Growth of ourselves.
What's wrong? Yeah, that's what it's today's about.
All right.
You signed off on this.
No, I was forced. Gun to my head.
Sure. So, let's just start off simple. I feel like since coming to uni, have you guys felt like you have changed as people?
Most definitely.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
And like how?
So let's put it this way. I'll put it in the basic way first. Like if I could travel back in time and I saw my younger self at the age of around 13, 14, 15, I would beat the living... out of them.
Oh, man took that on the chest.
Yeah.
When you pay an extra whole euro for a swear word, you really got to put it out there.
Yeah. I put on a swear just for that. But basically, I think now, because you're adapted to a different environment, I didn't need to like chase or be around certain people. Like, you know, in high school or whatever, when you're even a kid, it's like you always want to, you're interacting with people in your class all the time. And in a lot of ways, they take up a good chunk of your day and like your time and etc. But like when you're in university, you got more time to yourself. You got more time to figure out what you really want to do. You know what I mean? And I think it gives you, I mean, it's just like a forced maturity process, I feel like. Like you're on your own, right? So you're less dependent for sure on other people and on other things, I'd say.
Yeah,
definitely agree. I think growing up is like aging like a fine wine. You get better over the years. So yeah, I would also go, if I could go
now
back
I
in
just
time,
puked a little in my mouth.
If I could go, this man is reading an article again.
I'm telling you, this article is lit.
Yeah.
But it's relevant to the podcast.
What is it about?
Oh yeah, what's it about?
This article is literally by Mark Manson, right? He's the guy who wrote a very popular book, Art Not Giving a F. Does that count?
Yeah.
Is it? But it's an example.
It's a title.
But anyways, this is literally an article where he's talking about how different people grow up. But I'll get into that later. Continue what you were saying.
So Lars aged like fine wine.
Yeah.
Or like an old cheese.
You haven't even aged.
You have the smell of an old cheese.
No.
You really have to do me like that. No, but I think that definitely when you get thrown into the deep end, that you just like have to find your way and you grow up fast. I think I made more, you increasingly, exponentially grow faster, especially in the beginning, and then it flattens out a bit.
It happens like when you're kind of like just like rolling in the deep end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or rolling in the deep, if you will.
Thank you, Adele. No, I'm going to have to agree here as well. I feel like there are different points of development, but for my personal growth anyway, for me as a person, uni has been the biggest one. For me, it's mostly because of the change in social environment that there was. So more relaxed and more open, and that caused me to have some confidence growth in myself and therefore changing me as a person.
Completely changing you, or just kind of, is it really change, or is it more like you build on what you already got?
Yeah,
more like fine tuning, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's more that I wasn't sure of certain things before that I am sure about now, I guess. Sounds vague as hell, but makes sense to me.
Does it? Because like...
Does it? Does it?
Man's questioning.
Because I feel like there's a difference between fine-tuning and building on what you already have. Like fine-tuning means that as a kid, you're pretty much the same person and you just stuck with like what your strong points are. So I agree with that to a certain extent, but there are genuinely things that I would never do now.
Oh, yeah.
And like things that I haven't done before.
Yeah, no, but I mean from the direct switch from, let's say, high school to uni. And in that short period in uni,
okay,
I experienced a lot of development.
But then it's kind of like personality and behavior, right? Those are two different things.
That's a lot of depth. Yeah,
I don't think it's fine-tuning because at university you get like this whole new environment where you can develop things that you couldn't develop before, because also a lot more options. Like
in
high school, there's a specific group of people you are basically forced to hang out with, while at university there are like countless options. Like I said this before, there's always a group of people that where you fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have way more space to grow as a person.
But in a way, I also feel like because you're sort of forced to hang with people in high school, not that that's a bad thing, shout out to the high school homies, but you sort of learn how to get on with people.
Man was
whereas like in uni,
cool kids.
What?
Man was definitely one of the cool kids.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so while in uni, you sort of make these choices, right? Like there are people that I avoid because I'm like, I don't want to be around them. And you sort of forget how to... Not really how to behave around annoying people, but just...
I feel like
we're straying here. But
are there really people that you actively avoid?
Yeah, man, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I've not had that problem yet.
No. There have been situations where if I could choose, but...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I wouldn't... Yeah, but then...
I'm not, like, biking on another street or anything.
You don't bike,
But I don't understand. How do you avoid somebody? I feel like if they just...
No, man, like...
You just see them and you're like, oh, well,
no,
okay.
But even
acapella, it is.
But even like now with like group assignments, you know, and stuff like that. Like in high school, you're sort of forced to work with people who you don't want to work with.
Well, the same thing is right now, right?
Yeah,
you're put in a tutorial and you have to do assignments like happy.
I know, but there's like more like social responsibility here.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
And I feel like that's also a development point because, like, you know, when you're in high school in this smaller knit group, you sort of forget a lot of things and forget to, like, do a lot of things. Whereas now you have to be really attentive because you don't know people that well.
Not only that, man, that's also because there's the concept of responsibility.
Yeah.
It's actually, I'll reference this article. So when he is talking, no.
Yeah, go
but
on,
listen,
go on,
it's a good point. It's a good point because it fits in line with what we're saying. Like when you're a kid, you see things as either it's good or it's bad, or like it's pleasurable, it's non-pleasurable.
Yeah.
When you become an adolescent, right, you learn that things have values, things have principles, there's a way something happens, but you'll still work it, like you'll try to achieve things with trade-offs. Like I will hang out with these guys because I think they're cool, and if I don't, then etc. Or you can be like, oh, I'll do my homework so that my teacher doesn't get angry at me, etc. Whereas now it's like, I gotta do my work so I don't get screwed down the line. or I want to do my work because I have to hold up a certain responsibility for other people involved. Like before, I'm not gonna lie, there's a lot of group projects where I had to do everything, or like I didn't do anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
now high school, yeah, high school group projects were bullshit.
You're really on a roll today.
Yeah. Man really wants that sound bowl. He's invested. He's invested.
Wait, we're donating this to trust funds, right? What? Yeah.
What?
All right. So how about we look a little bit further back? We looked at how the direct change from new environment to the social environment of uni and high school, very different.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced that one a lot as well. Just due to the open nature, you're forced to put yourself out there, kind of. For better or for worse. For some people, it works really well. For some people, it doesn't work at all. But if we look further back, we all kind of grew up differently as well. Us three, we went to international schools. And Lars, you went to a Dutch school. I moved around a lot. But you guys were also just in one place. So how do you think this has affected you being in an international school? Or being in the same place has affected development and maybe social ability or something like that.
So I can talk about the local thing, because when you grow up in a, because I grew up in the Netherlands, but I also grew up in a small village. So it's not just that I stayed in one location, also a small community. So what happens is that you get quite interknitted with any social relations that are going on, but also your behavior starts to be shaped by those interactions that are going on. So there's not a lot of outside influences that challenge perspectives that are already there. So that's a bit more difficult.
So did you kind of have a sort of a culture shock when you came to uni, almost?
No, that's not, I don't think that happened, because it also depends on like who you interact with when you choose. So I was fortunate enough to interact with outside influences from without that community when I went to middle school and high school. But I know a lot of people that didn't, and they were like really shocked when they went to university.
Mm.
So that made a big difference.
I can say something maybe on behalf of you and me, because like it's similar for us, because we were in international schools. There are people from all over the place, but in a way it also, because you're in the same school for a while, it kind of streamlines your point of view to see something a certain way, or like to maybe even like your extent in a social circle or social environment. But like someone like Tymon, right? He's been around the world. Like you've had to switch. Like you never really had the same friend groups here and there. You always had to switch every, what, 3 years, yeah, right?
Every 3 years.
So yeah, you can see it in the way when like we're at parties or whatever, or social gathering, this man can talk about anything with anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a talent, really.
Yeah.
I would just be blank at a certain point. Like, yeah, I gotta go get some chips for my,
Yeah, you want another drink?
Yeah, you want a oh, what's that? Is that a pelican?
Not like, from what I noticed about international schools, it's actually not every one of them. It's like, oh yeah, you interact with a lot of different people. People come in and out, and that's great. You know, a lot of different cultures. But because a lot of people are just like you, and they've only been international schools as well. So essentially, each international school is a microculture where everyone that there also has the same views, much like maybe Lars's small town. So if you're in an international school the whole time, I think it's very similar. They're not, a lot of international schools are, you could say they're similar, but they're not identical. So there might still be a change, and you're still forced to adapt if you move around.
Do you think you were at any point like, okay, so because of like, as a kid, you grow a lot faster than when you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
We are not adults, by the way.
Yeah. You were in different places like every 3 years. Did you see a difference between, I presume they're all international schools? Or
what? I went to international schools from...
Okay, when you were 18 to 15, that was Brussels, right?
15 to 18.
15 to 18? Yeah. And then what about 12 to 15?
Yeah, that was also international school.
Okay, cool. Did you notice a difference in the way people are in the two places? Like one was in what?
One was in Paris and the other one was in Brussels.
Oh, okay. And you said you noticed differences. What about it?
Oh, Well, Brussels was a lot bigger of an international school, so there was more, you know, more grouping. So the more smaller groups, they were there in Paris as well, but everybody kind of knew everybody a bit better.
How did that shape your behavior?
How did that shape my behavior? Like
what was the difference in your behavior between the two schools?
Ooh. Okay, that's interesting. From 12 to when I was 12, I actually was in Paris for only 2 years, and then 4 in Brussels. So when I just turned 15, I was in Brussels. So pretty short time period, actually. And I feel like from the time when I was 14 to 16 is when you have this bigger development. But for me, the Paris to Brussels move was the hardest one because I just started doing my identity, started forming an identity. I had a group of friends that like I really got along with, and that's when I had to leave and I had to do it all over again.
Taylor had his first midlife crisis at 14.
I had an identity crisis. And then I moved to Brussels and I joined a group, but you know, it's not quite the same because you weren't there at the origin of it. So you just kind of latch onto it.
Yeah.
And it was just, I noticed from just being, in Brussels, it just didn't feel quite as comfortable as it did when I was in Paris. And I feel like, you know, if I'd stayed in Paris, I'm not sure how it would have played out. Or if I would have had the same, developmental thoughts. I can speak.
So then do you think you were largely like the same person when you were like, look, from like we're saying from what, 17, 18, and then you go, if you go at 18 to university straight away, if you make that switch,
yeah,
or like a couple years later, do you think that like you kind of had to grow up by yourself because you shifted to Brussels? Like, whereas we I'm sure we had like our friend circles and like they kind of shaped who we are, etc. But then coming here, that's when we had the time kind of alone to figure out what we want to do. And like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess you had to do that a lot earlier at like 15. It's not the same.
Yeah. Like, first off, I do want to start off. I am in a very lucky position. I'm very grateful for being in. Bless up.
Everybody.
You know, it is a privilege that I've had, that I've got to travel. So for identity thing, that's something I personally just dealt with on my own as well. So I don't think like all people who move around every 3 years will have that development because, you know, you can have been in the last couple years of high school and you can still find a good group. And I just, for me, it didn't quite work out. So that was just a bit unfortunate. What I do think is what helped a lot is because I had to move so often is you have to reintegrate. And that kind of taught me how to be able to, communicate and socialize with people very quickly and try and find easy topics of conversation. Yeah, that's something I think I have learned. And I'm pretty good at.
So for me, the opposite actually happened. So you had difficulty integrating into a new group and being there, as in joining later on.
Well, it's not I wasn't in, you know, it wasn't that I had difficulty joining the group. It was more that it didn't feel quite it was my group, but I was just part of it because I was integrated.
So I had that the opposite way around because when you're in that tight-knit community, as I said, when you then get exposed to new ideas and you get exposed to these ideas and they don't, or they don't value these ideas the same as you do, you get friction because whenever you then value something they don't, they don't see it the same as you do.
Yeah, there's a disconnect.
And then I had this exposure to new experience. I had a little bit in high school, but I had them massively at university when I had to start like investing time in things that were necessary for my career, for my future. And they didn't see it that way because in that small, tight-knit village, people don't go outside. that village. So their life is in that village, and that's it. There's nothing outside of that. So when I started expanding and putting time and effort into that, they didn't understand that, or they don't understand that. And then you get a bit of friction, which makes it a lot, which makes it difficult to get on the same page again. And even though you've known these guys for like multiple years, it gets strange sometimes.
Yeah, and I think like Trish and I are kind of in between you guys in that sense, because I was the local of my international school, if that makes sense. Because people would come and go, and then I'd always just be there. And when you're super young, especially, it's super difficult because you form friendships and then they leave.
I actually find the opposite. When it's younger, when you're younger, it's easier.
I don't know, man. Like, especially when you're like, because I was in international school since I was like 4. You know, when you're like 6 and your best friend leaves, it's kind of like, okay.
Well, yeah. Like, I moved when I was 6 to Australia. And for me, the move to Australia, yeah, of course. But I feel like when you're younger, you'll make new friends anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's less things to be interested in.
Exactly. And like the move to, from Australia to, you know, saying goodbye to friends is never easy. It's just, it's easier when you're younger because there's less going on. You just make friends.
No, in that sense, I definitely agree with you. But I think like, in the sense, what I mean is that if I was moving, then of course that would be more difficult when I'm older. But having people move away, like when you're younger, that's more difficult. And when you're older, you're kind of like, people move.
Because it's they are leaving you.
Yeah.
That's how you're...
Without too much,
your brain's...
It's so depressing. That's true. My God. Yeah, okay, that's a good point.
And yeah, like you... I mean, there was no... Like for you, like you had that moment where you could like change, you know? Mm. When you go to a new school, you can kind of like try something new, I guess. And being the local, you can't... You know, like you try something new, you walk in with a hat, and the next day they're like, yo, why are you wearing a hat?
Yeah. You never wore a hat before. What are you doing?
Yeah. And I don't think that's it's kind of a bad thing, like, I guess. But then the thing is, when you turn 18, you move away, you can sort of try all this stuff again at uni.
So, in a way, a fresh start for you is nothing new, Timon.
No. Really?
Have you ever been the goth?
What?
Have you ever been the goth?
The goth?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
There's a gothic store in your mind. We can come there.
Oh, you want to try it out?
I can see you in goth stuff.
You can.
Timon with black nail polish. I'd pay for that.
Mascara.
Yeah.
Screamo band. Hell yeah. Metacoidiate screamo band.
We should do it.
Are there goths who have like can I be a goth if I paint my nails black?
Yeah, you can be a goth.
But you gotta put on black lipstick or what?
I don't know, I'm not a goth.
What's a goth, man? Like,
can we get a goth on the line? Goth interview?
Hang on.
Goth.
Do you guys know any goths?
No.
I don't.
I don't know either.
I've never.
Oh, it developed in the United Kingdom during the early 80s, so it originates off a style. I guess I can. I can be part of the goth subculture if I desire.
All right.
Mm.
Or I can... How do you say that?
Let's make Fresh a goth.
We can make an episode about it after Fresh comes back from his exploration of the goth subculture.
Yeah.
Going deep in the goth subculture.
Medical idiots, goth culture report.
Oh yeah, it's been done before.
What? You looked up Indian goth?
Dude. Alright, so personal development, guys.
Our next phase is becoming goths.
So what's your next statement?
Well, my next statement kind of linked into the last two is like, how much does your environment affect your development? And we've already established quite a lot.
Isn't this what we've just spoken about?
Yeah, well, exactly. Isn't so like, we kind of already covered it.
But that was more like, you also have like, that was more the indirect influence. You also have like the direct people, the people you interact with on the daily.
Yeah.
It's like the famous, what's it called? The famous quote, if you show me your friends, I can show you your future. You know that one?
I don't know if it's a famous quote, but I've heard it
before. That's a nice quote though.
Yeah.
But yeah, we kind of covered that already.
Wait, my friends are med students. Am I going to be a med student?
Damn!
No, but if you hang around with the wrong crowd, then you're more likely to...
It's true.
It's true.
Facts.
So,
unless you're absolutely a beast and you just know yourself.
Find good friends.
You think there are people out there who literally just had friends, but you know,
come on, this is like they had episode.
Terrible friends, but they just didn't care. They were like that light.
Aaron Hernandez, bro. Have you seen the Netflix documentary?
Aww. Aaron who?
Aaron Hernandez.
Who's that?
Who's that?
The NFL footballer. He like murdered two people, played a full season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's like a Netflix documentary. He had the worst friends, man. And he had like
He still killed two people. I wouldn't say that's too positive.
Yeah. No, it isn't too positive. But he made it, so to speak.
Oh, that's a different category.
But that's what he was aiming for.
So yeah, but I'm sure a lot of footballers had terrible, terrible backgrounds.
Man. Yeah,
that's true. They do.
That's different. That's not having bad company. That's having a bad background, maybe.
But it's also not about being successful. It's also about failing.
That's a conversation for another time.
God, we're going into some very deep.
All right, so next statement. All
right, yeah, we'll do next statement. So we talked about this a bit before, but we all just jumped into uni right away, into medicine.
No, they didn't.
Well, they had a year. You had a year in between. Yeah, but still,
I played around in biomed for a while and then hopped out.
Played around. Pulled some moves.
Still pretty quick. Pipetted. Right, and we talked about in America, they have to do like...
America!
Exactly. That country. they have to...
Yeah.
God damn it. Oh, that counts? okay. So in America, they have to have a bachelor, I believe, beforehand, before they can even start.
No, they don't need a bachelor. They need a...
It's a college degree.
They need a degree.
Basically, med school is a graduate school, right?
Yeah. So...
But it can be in anything, right?
It can be in anything, yeah. So they already kind of train their studying and develop the development cycle we just talked about earlier, before even going into medicine. And you think...
So basically think they are older when they go into medicine.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think that's relevant? You think that should be done maybe here?
I think there are some advantages, there are some disadvantages. When older, you're already more likely to have already developed your, like, for example, coping skills a bit more.
Right.
Presumably.
Less procrastinating.
Because
you think more about long-term goals.
Yeah, okay.
In the US, you also have this more on the line, because if you don't finish it, then your debt will be through the roof and your credit score will be down the drain.
Mm.
But it's also like the med school there is different from here, and they know that these people have 4 years of college degrees.
Yeah. That's true.
So it's also oriented a bit differently.
Yeah.
Mm.
I wish there was some data on like how many, like what is the most common age of entry to get into medical school? And because like, I guess the longer you wait, the more you're expected to achieve in the meantime before you enter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to a certain extent.
You would say that someone who applies when he's 30 has to have more accomplishments than someone who applies when he's 20. That's what you're saying.
I don't know. I think that's what they might be expecting.
But naturally, like someone who applies when they're 30 would have more accomplishments than someone who's
20. That's what I would assume. But you know, that's an assumption, right? It's not a fact.
Yeah.
But anyways, like my question being... does that affect how it changes? Because like, again, you have more time if you go to like college or you do something else before, as opposed to hopping straight. I guess this question is for Lars.
What?
Because you are the one here who made the direct switch, right?
Tymon did as well.
But Tymon had that time before to kind of, because he was switching all the time. This was your first time with a big switch. Yeah, and they expect you to have a certain degree of professionalism straight off the bat, right?
Yeah.
How do you answer?
It's really strange because in Dutch high school, you have to say Mrs. and Mr.
Oh,
we had that, sir, madam.
Yeah, but and then you have to always be very polite. There's nothing wrong with that. It's very good. But at university, it's different.
Yeah, here you got to email Josh like 15 minutes before
the
tutorial.
The first email you send is, dear Mr. or Professor or Doctor, I don't know. And then the next email, if they send an email back where they basically allow you to be more informal, it's informal. But at high school, it's different. You keep being formal.
Yeah.
So that's one that's
less. That's because you're also an adult now. right?
Yeah, like I was also an adult when I was still in high school.
Yeah,
I turned 18.
No, but that's not the same. Okay, but like throughout high school, you're a kid. But I mean, like now, I think there are still people who deserve their titles. Like if they're, like, I don't know, a senior professor. Yeah. I don't know. There's a hierarchy and stuff like that. Like I remember calling an associate professor, and he was like, "Don't call me that. Just call me by my name." But like some people, I call them like Professor Kuller, etc. Like, be like,
yeah.
I guess that they've deserved that.
It depends on the person. But it depends on the person. But there's no standard. Like in high school, there's a standard.
Yeah.
But there, so university became less professional. But then, at another aspect, like behaving with other members of your group and with people you hang around with, and designating tasks within a group project, then it becomes more professional.
Yeah.
Because in my school, you basically get together and then you do this and then blah, 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 blah. It's not that very efficient. It's not very structured.
Mm.
University becomes more structured. But I don't think there's that much of a difference between the two.
I wouldn't say, just back on your point on emails, I wouldn't say it's less professional.
No,
I'd say it's less polite. Because, polite,
I
that's the wrong word.
I think it's less formal. I think
that's what
man,
it is. But it's not unprofessional to have a casual relationship.
Before uni, I remember writing emails and I used to be "yours sincerely" and stuff. Like
yeah.
I feel like in uni, my emails have become texts.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, they become standard. No, it's just there. People you're talking to, comma, main message, kind regards, last one.
Yeah,
kind regards, some of these people be putting like VG, met veel goed, MVG, just at the back of their letter.
Yeah,
met vriendelijk goed,
come on, man, like,
wait
that out.
So do you feel like
emails
in
Dutch?
Wait, guys, what do you finish
for
your emails
Dutch emails,
with?
For example, kind regards.
I always say thank you very much.
Depends. I typed that before the kind regards.
What are you thanking them for?
Just for taking the time.
You don't even know.
Simon sends an email. Yo, can you help me out? Thank you, kind regards.
Oh, thank you. You can say thank you in advance. But
but I always do the thank you in advance for just reading the email.
The point being,
what if they don't read the email? Then they also don't get the thank you.
Then they won't have gotten the thank you because they didn't read the email.
But Trish, you were complaining about like how it became text and it's more informal. Do you feel that you deserve a more formal response now that you're an adult?
No, honestly, I dig it because I used to take too much effort writing these emails.
I still check them just for safety.
You proofread your emails?
Yeah.
No, smart.
I did that in the first year, but now I've gone.
It depends.
Become automatic.
If I was Simon, I would also proofread my email.
It also depends. If I'm already having an email conversation with the person I'm
with,
then I don't proofread my. If I send the first email to someone I haven't
That's what I mean.
Then I proofread as well.
Like, it really depends who I'm emailing.
Yeah.
You know?
But let's go back to the personal development. Yeah. That, like, it was a big culture shock when you got to university. Because I think every time you level up, basically, I've already explained this before.
Yeah, you level up, man.
There's no light.
Yeah, because when you go from I'm never gonna live that one now.
No, you are not.
So where you go from primary school to middle school to high school, like every time you level up, you think, oh, now it's gonna be more professional and more strict, and everybody's gonna be wearing a suit and stuff like that. And then you basically see that they're just still grown up babies.
I
didn't even know what to expect going through all those phases. I just took it day by day, honestly.
I don't know.
I'm here now.
But Lars, I have a question for you. Actually, for everyone. Did you? Yeah, why not? But like, did you? So you said like there's the
would
culture.
Prefer if Lars answers this, I guess.
No, I thought it would be more relevant to him. But because you talked about the culture shock and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like, did you want to have a change?
Yeah, I was done with high school.
Yeah.
But not necessarily the people or the. Yeah, I was also done with the environment, but especially the classes.
Oh, right.
I just stopped doing stuff I didn't
There's
like.
So much stuff that you just don't like that you have to do. I mean,
like
we did IB, so we did like TOK.
TOK?
Cass.
Honestly, I thought TOK was pretty fun.
Bro, TOK was a poorly
what
timed
is TOK?
Joke.
Yeah,
right.
TOK, it was pretty much budget philosophy.
It's epistemology.
Oh, we also had to do philosophy.
Yeah, no.
Religious
we have
studies. The specific word you're looking for is epistemology. Literally. the knowledge of learning and knowledge, right? That's basically what it was about.
Yeah.
Theory of knowledge. That's what it stood for. It was lit. I don't care what these guys say.
No, I said it. I enjoyed it as well.
Bro, no.
I forgot the original question. What was it?
It was about, were you looking forward to a change?
Yes, yes. I want to know.
What about you guys from coming out of A?
Alright, if you don't want the answer, then don't ask the question.
Oh. I thought you were done.
How many minutes are we in?
35.
Alright.
Okay, well then we can...
I'm getting hungry.
So am I.
I had lunch.
You had dinner?
I didn't. Alright, let's round it off. So maybe...
I'm about to eat dinner.
What?
It's between lunch and dinner, lads.
No, that's a snack.
You think brunch is a legit word?
Oh, breakfast and lunch. Oh.
It's made up.
Did you never know that?
No, I never knew that.
Yeah, so
you're joking.
I declare it to be dinner.
I don't think Liner works because you only take one letter from lunch.
Yeah.
You have to take two. It's Lunner.
Lunner. Yeah, Lunner.
I'm going to look it up.
Or Lupper.
Lunner.
Because you can call it supper.
Lupper, you can call it supper, yeah.
Yeah, Lunner, a meal combining lunch and dinner on Urban Dictionary.
Damn.
Well, you know it's legit then.
Wait, this is.
What about breakfast?
Is this in or not?
No, it is. Oh, it's even in.
Dude,
the...
can we finish the episode?
No, you have to take the first two letters, so it'll all be right,
okay, so thank Lunner you guys also... for listening to this episode of the Medical Idiots Podcast.
Lunner is also a
municipality
and a Vic in Norway.
We won't be back next week. We have exams next week, so. What? Why are you dying?
Rested between dinner and breakfast and breakfast. I said, now you have to take the first two letters. So.
And with that, we are wrapping up this episode of the Medical Idiots
Make
Podcast.
Make sure to check out our
good
socials.
Luck editing this.
Just do the last part again, boys. Come on.
No, yeah. This is quite fun.
No, we sound
Make
retarded.
Sure to check out our socials. It was a wholesome episode. We talked about some stuff.
Do we already have a Reddit page?
Do we have a Reddit
page? Are we making a Reddit page?
We should make a Reddit page.
You want to make a Reddit page?
r/thematicalidiots. Doesn't sound too bad, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad. Check out YouTube.
Because it's just r/
Check out OnlyFans. We have shirtless episodes on there as well.
Yep. It's going to be great. It's only $2.50 per episode. So... it's pretty much, right now we only have the audio recordings, but you will hear a show.
But so. Lars's nipples are covered in those episodes, so I don't know which chest you guys are coming for, but... yeah.
So, thank you for listening, and until next time.